Welcome back to Go Gaddis Real Estate Radio right here on AM 920 The Answer. I'm Cleve Gaddis, and I appreciate you joining us for this week's show. In this segment, should you get married before you buy a house? And could your childhood home actually be your forever home? Don't forget, before we get into the topics of this segment, that we want to communicate with you. If you have questions that you'd like us to answer on air or off air, if you have any comments you'd like to make, if you want to push back or challenge things that I say or guests say on the air, we love getting your feedback, even if it's not necessarily positive feedback. We still love it. You can also share ideas with us, those things that you think make your living experience incredible or make your home more valuable or whatever it is. We'd love to hear those ideas. We'd also love it if you would like us to do some additional research on your neighborhood to help you determine as a homeowner in the neighborhood whether or not you have a particular advantage when it comes to selling your home. You can do that. We call that our neighborhood spotlight. It's almost always at the fourth segment of the show. Sometimes it's in the third segment. And you can subscribe to our Pat podcast. We would love for you to be a podcast subscriber. And we're available on every major podcasting platform. This segment of the show is brought to you by the law firm of O'Kelly and Sorahan. They are a full-service law firm with almost 30 offices throughout Metro Atlanta. And they specialize in residential real estate closings, including home purchases, refinance closings, corporate relocation and real estate contract review, and title insurance matters. They can be reached by calling 770-497-1880. One more time, 770-497-1880. Or you can just go to Go Gaddis Radio and say, give me the contact information for your preferred closing attorney. Are you part of a growing number of women becoming a homeowner before partnering up? We just talked about there being 2.7 million more female single homeowners than male single homeowners. In our last segment, we discussed that single women in the U.S. own more homes than single men, and it's by a lot. And we got received a listener question from Ashley in Winder. I am a single woman in my early 30s, and I am sick and tired of hearing that I should marry before I buy a home. What options do I have? Well, I say, as a dad of all daughters, I have four daughters from 26 years old down to 21 years old, four daughters, one grandchild, another one on the way in July. I'm so excited. But as a dad of all daughters, I say, no, you do not have to get married before you buy a home. There are lots of options for you to move forward buying a home as a single woman. And I think you need to do the things that you need to do in order to live the life that you want to live. Now, I will give you a little bit of a caution, and that is, if you are not married and you're considering buying a home and putting a significant other on the title, somebody you're in a relationship with but not necessarily married to, I would probably be careful of that. I was in the car with my youngest daughter, and we were learning about a situation where a female is buying a home. She's putting her male significant other, who she's not married to, on the title of the home. And, you know, unless this other person is contributing toward the down payment, I don't think you should put somebody else on the title with you. And the reason for it is this. About a month ago, I received a call from a good client who says, hey, I know somebody and they're in trouble. And this gentleman and his girlfriend bought a home together, and now they've decided that they don't want to be in a relationship together, but they own the home together. And just like you have to go through a divorce to handle marital assets, you would have to go through a legal procedure to force the sale of that asset if one or more of the parties does not want to own it. So it becomes quite complicated. And when you own a property as joint tenants, both of the owners must agree to sell it in order for it to be sold. So we've got some tips for single women looking to buy a home. This is from Good Morning America, March the 5th of this year. Here's the interesting thing about buying a home. Men are usually starting sooner than women and reaping the benefits faster, but a group of realtors in Texas are trying to change that. Research has shown that women pay more for their homes than men and sell for less when selling their property, and we got to turn that around. For women entering the market, they need to make sure to negotiate as well as just buy the home. Women have power too and deserve a place at the closing table. Every first-time homebuyer typically knows nothing about the home buying process. Here are a few tips. If you want to be able to afford a home before you get married, you can rent out part of your home. I know my daughter, Stacy, and I shouldn't tell her business on the air. She plans to rent out part of her condo. Now, she's going to rent it to her sister, which is pretty good because her sister will probably get some help with expenses from her mother and her father. And so it'll be kind of like guaranteed rent, but she's planning to have a payment on her condo that is about $600 less than she was paying to rent an apartment after she rents half the apartment, half the condo, and a room to her sister. Number two, you don't have to buy it alone. You could go into partnership with someone you trust, but remember, it's got to be someone you trust. And my suggestion would be that your relationship with that person should probably be something that is permanent. And I mean, you probably need to be related by blood in order to do that. And you can also go for a fixer-upper. You can change the pattern in your brain and think, I can make this my own. Change your outlook, set yourself ahead, work with a realtor who has experience. And we have lots of experience working with single females purchasing a home. But you want to work with somebody who is familiar with the process, your neighborhood of interest. You want to encourage them to ask the seller to cover closing costs and make repairs after the inspection. And other questions you probably need to ask yourself before buying, because this is likely to be one of the biggest purchases of your life, is number one, do I have at least 6 months of emergency savings to cover my life, including my mortgage, utilities, groceries, in the event of a job loss? How much can I realistically spend a month, especially if you have student loans, meaning, you know, your debt-to-income ratio, if you made $6,000 a month, are you comfortable spending $2,000, $2,500, $3,000? Lenders would probably let you spend up to $3,000 on housing expenses. And number three, how long am I willing to own this home? It should be at least 5 years. Remember, you don't have to be married in order to own a home. There are a lot of opportunities for you to own a home as a female without being married. And again, as a dad of all daughters, I want all of my daughters to be in charge of their own lives. I want them to be able to make decisions that work best for them. And at some point, if they have a partner, works best for them and the partner. But the reality is, I'm much more concerned with them doing things that are right for them. Have you ever thought about buying the house where you grew up? Turns out it's not just a sentimental idea. Sometimes it can be a smart and practical decision. Joanna in Peachtree City wrote in saying, searching for the perfect home for our family seems to be unreachable. My parents suggested that we buy their home, the one I grew up in. Is that a good or a bad idea? And I wish that it was really easy just to say, well, that's a great idea or that's a bad idea. I personally think it is always something that you should consider. We're going to talk about the pros and cons of buying your childhood home. This is from RealtorLife.com, February of this year. You might wonder, why are people buying their childhood homes? In today's real estate world, it's not so easy to find an affordable starter home. Homes people usually buy first when they're starting out on their own or starter homes. Prices for these starter homes have gone up a lot, about 45% more than before the pandemic. Starter homes are 45% more than they were before the pandemic. Plus, mortgage interest rates have also increased, which makes it challenging for many people, especially those looking for their first home. The pros of buying your childhood home. Number one, the emotional connection. Every time I see the homes I grew up in, I feel nostalgic. One of the most significant advantages of buying your childhood home is the emotional connection. The space holds cherished memories. And sentimental value beyond the financial aspects, the sentimental value attached to buying your childhood home is priceless. You have familiarity and comfort. Returning to a familiar environment can offer a sense of comfort and ease. You already know the layout and everything else, and buying your childhood home can lead to cost savings. Depending upon the real estate market, buying your childhood home might be a financially sound decision. If the property's value has appreciated over the years, buying at a lower price than the current market value could result in cost savings, and your mother and father or whoever owns it today might be willing to do that. Now, the disadvantages, you might have unrealistic expectations when buying your childhood home because returning to your childhood home might not recreate the past. You have maintenance and upkeep, and if it was your childhood home, it's probably an older home, and they come with maintenance challenges and potential repair costs. You have aging infrastructure, outdated systems, the need for renovations. All those expenses could add up. making it a more demanding and expensive investment than you initially anticipated. You might have limited growth opportunities. Staying in your childhood home may limit your exposure to new experiences and opportunities, and that's a big one. I loved moving to Columbia, moving to Chicago, moving back to Atlanta. It was a great experience for me. If the area has undergone significant changes or if it lacks amenities you now value, it could impact your quality of life. And sometimes there's emotional baggage. While the emotional connection can be a positive aspect, it may also bring emotional baggage. Past memories, whether positive or negative, can affect your perception of the home and may influence your daily life. And now, I have very positive feelings about the home where I grew up in, so that's not an issue. But the reality is there are some places where I have stayed that I have a very negative emotional connotation, meaning I do not like those places just because, you know, somebody died while I lived there, not in the house, but something happened that was really, really bad, or something happened job-wise or whatever, and sometimes I just have bad feelings about that particular home. If you are looking to sell your home anytime in the next 6 months or even up to a year, we believe we can sell your home for $28,000 more than your neighbor sold his or her home for. To find out more, go to GoGaddis Radio. Click on $28,000 more. Put in a little information. I'll follow up with you to tell you about how you will get a customized maximum value plan for free for the first 5 people to request this week, about an $800 value. And we'll tell you about our rehab and refresh budget of up to $15,000 that you can use to put your home in top shape and sell it for more than your neighbor sold his or her home for. GoGaddisRadio.com, $28,000 more. If you don't believe me, try me. We're going to take a quick break. In our next segment, we're going to talk about the HGTV smart home in 2024 and what is a smart home. Those subjects and more, stick with us. We'll be back.